A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. I hope you're having a good day. So let's see how many callers we got waiting. We got nobody waiting right now. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and hopefully you'll have some good questions and some good issues we can talk. And I hope yesterday's show blessed you, and certainly blessed me. Good stuff there. Hey, I hope you bear with me. Pray for me. I hurt my back today, and about 20 minutes ago, one of our cats just got stuck in a chair, was screaming, and I ran over and grabbed and lifted him up, and whoa, man, I was on the floor. This getting old thing, man, I'll tell you. Adam did it. He messed up. Sin entered the world through him, and now we're suffering the problems of sin in the world, and it takes many different forms. BLM is one of them. Antifa is another. Leftist politics. I'm making enemies, I know. Leftist politics, right-wing wackos, communism, all kinds of stuff. We have illnesses and famines and plagues, earthquakes. You know, there's a lot of ramifications to the single act of Adam participating in eating that fruit. And because of what he did, sin entered the world. Now, just to let you know, even though Eve sinned first, it was not through her that sin entered the world. It was through Adam. This is Romans 5:1 that talks about that. Why is that important? Well, it's important for several reasons. One, it means the male is the head of the family, and two, it means the male is the head in the church, not the female. Now, a lot of women aren't going to like that. And what I just said is not politically correct. And, that's right, I don't want to offend anybody, do I? Because they might be offended. And then we have to change all of our actions and apologize for offending somebody because they didn't like something. Oh, and they go get their diapers changed because they couldn't handle it. Well, let me just tell you, I don't care if you're offended. That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible is the inspired word of God. And you need to trust in that word. And when Adam sinned, and sin entered the world through him, Romans 5:12, it's because he represented mankind, represented creation. And Paul ties the created order issue in with the issue of the headship in the church. And woman is not to be in that place of spiritual authority for men in the church. That's 1 Timothy 2:12 and 13. And that's why Paul says in the pastoral epistles in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy 3, that the elder is, in pastors an elder, the elder is to be anermes gunaikas, a man of one woman. So that's what it is. You know, I don't say things that are popular. And I get a lot of things that I'll say that just upset people. But on the other hand, there are people who love to hear the truth of God's word because they are regenerate. They are indwelt by the Lord God. They believe in the truth of the word of God and not in the word of man that seeks to compromise God's truth and twist it and bend it to their needs and whims. I don't believe in that. I don't do that. So anyway, if you want to give me a call and you want to argue with me about something, that'd be fine. 877-207-2276. And if you're curious about some schools, we have three online schools. You can check them out. All you got to do is go to carm.org, and on the right-hand side of any page, you'll see the little thing, the laptop picture, and that's the schools. Go check them out. There's a lot there. We use them to help keep the lights on here at the intergalactic headquarters of CARM. I hope that you like what you find there. And let's see. We have a wish list if you want to help out. The wish list. That's not a big deal. Just let people know. Because people like supporting in different ways. And we have a wish list. We have a monitor there. Grab-and-go USB video capture for VGA, DVI, HDMI. And a backup computer. But I think I'm taking that backup computer away because it looks like we're going to have a different backup computer set up here pretty soon. So that's about it. I think that is it. I can't think of anything. All right. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. I want you to give me a call. Come on. Let's talk to Andrew from Durham, North Carolina. Andrew, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. What do you got?
Doing pretty good, buddy. Hey, Mac, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Were there the Gnostics and these philosophers I hear hiding the truth? You know, a lot of the Bible has been edited, and I was wondering,
whoa.
Philosophers and Gnostics hiding the truth I hear?
Wait. The Bible's, let's talk about one thing at a time here. So you said the Bible's been edited? What do you mean? It's been corrupted?
Yes,
and,
sir. Yes, sir. Through the Catholic Church and...
Hold on a sec. One thing at a time, okay? The Roman Catholic Church did not corrupt the Bible. Okay, didn't do that. If anything, now I'm against Roman Catholicism, but if anything, through history, well preserved the documents. So, the Roman Catholic Church did not corrupt the Bible. Has not been corrupted. And I can talk about that if you want, but it's not been corrupted, okay?
Let me ask you this question. Today, Sunday, is not the day, the washing day. The Sabbath day is Saturday, which is the Sabbath day. And everything has been corrupted. We believe in a pagan system, which means they have contaminated it, went in and changed a lot of the world out. And
Wait a second. You're like jumping in the deep end of the pool. You're paddling all over the place. You've got to get a word in edgewise here. Do you know why we worship on Sunday? On Sunday instead of Saturday?
Yes, I do know why, because it was changed.
Who changed it?
The Gnostic. Let me ask you a question, sir. Do you know about the Council of Nicaea?
Yeah, I know about the Council of Nicaea. Who changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday?
But go back to Rome and Greek. They changed it all. They tried to deny the truth, what Yahushua did. And his name is not Jesus Christ. His name is Yahushua HaMashiach.
Oh, man, I'm loving this. Okay, let's tackle that in a minute. But first of all, the Bible says... one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind, Romans 14:5. So one man regards one day above another, like Saturday or Sunday. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Why is Paul teaching us that we should be convinced in our own mind about which day it is we hold to, if what you're saying is true?
Because, Genesis, it says, Wait a second.
I asked you a question about Romans 14, verse 5, something that Paul said, and then you just ignored it. So Paul said, one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Why would Paul say that if we're supposed to worship on Saturday?
Well, I guess we don't get caught up in the day. But we go back to what Yahushua said.
Excuse me. I'm focusing on this verse, and what you're doing is you're just basically ignoring it and then jumping someplace else. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. Why would Paul say this if we're supposed to worship on Saturday? That's my question.
So you're saying we don't... I'm saying,
why did Paul say one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike? Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. So if we're supposed to worship on Saturday, why did Paul say that one regards every day alike? Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. If we're supposed to worship on Saturday, shouldn't he be saying, hey, you got to worship on Saturday and not say that every day's alike?
You might him just a prophet about what's what I prefer. But I prefer to go by what Yahushua said or Paul.
Paul is called by Jesus Christ, and whatever Paul says is, whatever Paul said is just as inspired as Jesus.
Okay. You think about it, if I had a choice, I would go with Yahusha. Said his name is Yahusha because Jesus Christ.
Who is Yahusha? Who's Yahusha?
No, it's not Yahusha. It's Yahusha.
Who's Yahusha?
That's not his name.
Who's Yahusha?
That's the Savior of the world.
Yahusha? Where's that in the Bible?
No, go to your Hebrew version, the original Hebrew version.
Wait. What? You mean the Old Testament? That's the Hebrew. It's not in the Old Testament.
No, sir. I'm talking about the Hebrew Bible, sir. The Sefer, the divine Sefer.
Excuse me. The Hebrew is the Old Testament. The Greek is the New Testament. So if you're talking about Hebrew, you're talking about, yes, it is. That's correct. The Greek is the New Testament. Yes.
I know what you're saying, sir, but I'm talking about you got a Hebrew version, the Hebrew Bible.
Where'd you get this Hebrew? Where'd you get this Hebrew version? When was it written?
Oh, this is written. It's been written way back. It's a Hebrew version.
Way back. Okay. Way back doesn't really help me. So just way back. Okay. So was the Hebrew New Testament written after the Greek New Testament was written? Was the Hebrew New Testament written before or after the Greek New Testament?
It was before. It always was.
So you're telling me that all of the New Testament books were written in Hebrew?
Yes, sir, they were. But what it was, if you go to the Catholic, they wouldn't turn up the original versions.
Hold on.
Yes, sir.
You've not studied, obviously. You've been brainwashed. Now,
Greek, sir.
Yes, you have. The Greek New Testament is what we have.
Excuse me.
You don't have any of these ancient Hebrew texts of the New Testament. They don't exist like that. The ones we have that are the oldest regarding the New Testament are all in Greek.
Okay. Now, do you know the Greeks were? Those are pagans.
And so they're in Greek. So that's what they were written in.
Do we trust that Greek, sir?
Yes, we do. We trust it because that's what God had it written in. Do you know why he had it written in Greek and not Hebrew? Do you want to know why? I can tell you.
Yes.
You ready? Because 300 years earlier, Alexander the Great had conquered the Mediterranean area, and he brought Greek into the whole Mediterranean area. The Hebrews, the Jews, spoke Hebrew. There's a very, very few people who could speak Hebrew, who could read Hebrew. Very few. Greek was the national language of so many of the countries around there. Greek was all over all these different countries. In the Roman Empire, all over the place. So, it was written in Greek so people could read the truth. If it was written in Hebrew, they wouldn't know it. Hold on a sec, okay? We got a break coming up.
Okay.
We'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines if you want to join in, 877-207-2276. All right, Andrew, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here, Mr. Matt. Hey, okay, Mr. Matt, let's go to Matthew 28, where it says, everyone must be saved and baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's the Father's name then?
What's the Father's name? There is no name of the Father.
Oh, yes, it is, sir.
Really? What
the
is
the Father is Yeshua.
You mean you believe that... Okay, I'm starting to laugh. Sorry. So you deny the Trinity, right?
Yes, sir. That Father is Yeshua, and the Son is Yahushua HaMashiach.
So do you deny the Trinity, that there's one God in three distinct simultaneous persons?
Oh, no, no. It's all together, but there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through the Bible, be said and baptized in the name
of
the Father.
I asked you a question. I asked you a question. Yes, sir. Do you affirm the doctrine of the Trinity, that there's one God in three distinct simultaneous persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
They're all one, yes, sir, but it's three different, yes, sir. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Three distinct simultaneous persons.
Right. And you have three separate names.
Can you show me? Oh, man. Can you show me in the Bible where the name of God the Father is whatever you said it was? Get a verse for
Yes,
that?
Sir.
Okay.
I can show it to you, sir. You got to have the Holy Spirit. As Paul prayed for discernment, wisdom, knowledge, understanding.
Just give me the verse. Give me the verse, please. Just give me the verse. Okay. What's the verse?
Yes, sir. But in the Bible, sir, it has Lord and God. Which is not no name. Those are not names. Those are titles.
Okay, what's the verse? You said the Father
okay,
has
you're going to ask.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about it's not going to be in the Bible. It's going to be in the Hebrew version.
Okay, so it's not in the Bible. So if it's not in the Bible, where are you getting this? You making it up?
No, sir, this is a Hebrew version I got.
Okay.
You go
look,
the Hebrew
we're
going to
move along. Look, we're going to move along. I'm going to tell you something. You have been you've been brainwashed by whatever cult you're in.
No, sir.
And you don't know what the history is. You don't know the facts. You don't know what the Greek really says. You don't understand the issues. You've been greatly misled. There's a group called the Sacred Name Group or the Sacred Name Movement where you have to have the right name of Jesus. It's not Jesus in Greek, but it's Yeshua HaMashiach, and that's what they usually will say. And they'll say that there's a New Testament written in Hebrew or that there's certain Gospels written in Hebrew, but they've been lost and corrupted because the Roman Catholic Church is the thing. The body that denounced them in order to get its corrupt doctrine. But you don't have any evidence of that. And believe me, I would have found out after 40 years of research on this, I would have heard about this and some evidence for it, and it doesn't exist. What you're doing is making things up or listening to people who've made things up, and they couldn't argue their way out of a wet paper bag. They don't know what they're doing. And you've been deceived.
Could you give me a call after the station did?
We're going to move along. So I appreciate that. Let's get on the phones with Benjamin from Missouri. Benjamin, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, Matt. Benjamin, I've been enjoying your show. And my question is this. Now, I come from a biblical standpoint on this one. Why is it that some Assembly of God Christians focus solely on prophecy of the current events that are happening around us? And second part of my question is this.
Let's do one question at a time. Let's do one question at a time.
Forgiveness of sin.
Let's do one question at a time.
And Lord's Supper.
Let's do one question at a time, okay? That's fine.
Okay.
So your first question was, why do Christians, I didn't quite understand, Christians focus on prophecy more than something else? What was it?
Why do Assembly of God Christians focus on current events prophecy?
Oh, Assemblies of God people. I don't know exactly. I've never heard an Assemblies of God preacher preach that I remember. But I may have. There's so many different churches. But they're Arminian, and they're into the charismatic movement quite a bit. And so they like the idea of prophecies and things like that, and they will focus on that. And there's nothing wrong with focusing on end times prophecy, as long as they don't do it to the exclusion of other truths in Scripture. So, it's okay to do that. Okay.
Okay. And your second question is, why do they deny that forgiveness of sins is not found in the Lord's Supper or baptism?
You know, I understood was Lord's Supper or baptism. I didn't hear the first part. What was it you asked?
Why did they deny forgiveness of sins found in baptism and Lord's Supper?
Why do they deny something? It's really hard for me to understand. Forgiveness of sin?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they deny forgiveness of sin by taking communion and or participating in baptism?
Well,
is that your question?
Let me read it again. So why do some of God Christians deny forgiveness of sins found in baptism and the Lord's Supper?
That sins found in baptism or the Lord's Supper. It's really hard for me to understand you. I want to get exactly what you're saying. So,
okay. Let me put you on speaker while I was speaking to you again, okay?
You know, if someone understood his question, type it out for me, because I couldn't understand exactly what he's saying. One word can make a big difference. So are you still there?
I'll say it again. Okay, so why do Assembly of God Christians deny forgiveness of sins found in baptism and Lord's Supper?
Because there is no forgiveness of sins in baptism and Lord's Supper. That's why. It's not there. Where do you find that you're forgiven of your sins by getting baptized or by taking communion? Where does it say that in the Bible?
Isn't that in the words of the institution?
Nothing in Scripture says that baptism is what forgives you of your sins. Now, people are going to go, they're going to say, Matt, you're wrong. It's 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism now saves you. What they don't do is read the whole verse. It says corresponding to that. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to a conscience for a clean conscience, appeal to God. So corresponding to that refers to what happened before the verse, and what it's referring to is the ark and the flood. Corresponding to that, baptism saves you. What saved Noah? Was the ark or the water? It was the ark. So that verse is a difficult verse to get through for a lot of people because of what Peter says there. And often go to Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And they'll say, that's how you get forgiveness of sins. So, and they're wrong on that because they don't understand what the verse is actually saying. But let me ask you a question. Do you know what justification is?
Justification is grace alone through Christ alone.
Justification is being declared legally righteous according to that law. It's observed by faith. We get it by faith, okay? Having therefore been justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law, Romans 3:28. So here's a question for you. Are we justified when we have faith? Are we justified by faith when we have faith? Or are we not justified by faith when we have faith?
Scripture would probably argue saying that works apart from faith is dead.
Yeah, that's James 2:14-26. But I asked you a specific question. Are we justified by faith when we have faith or not? And the answer has to be, yes, we are. We're justified by faith, not by faith in baptism, not by faith in ceremony, not by faith in sacraments. That's a false gospel. We're going to move along. May the Lord bless you, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air here with Stanley from North Carolina, who we lost. He says, how to be happy with God. If you want to call back, we could talk about that. If you want to call back, we can talk. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Courtney from Ohio. Courtney, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Doing okay. Hanging in there. More hanging
okay,
in there.
Okay, you had a couple interesting phone calls there. Okay. I had a question. I was reading a book, and I found that there was a lot of Christian names that are okay with homosexuality. And it really surprised me. Like, I didn't know. And I was wondering if you had heard any of these names before. Only one I've ever heard. One was Andy Stanley. Did you ever hear that before?
He doesn't support you. He can't. I hope he doesn't. You gotta.
That's what I thought. I was shocked when I read it.
Wait a minute. Did you read someone saying it about him, or did you read where he said it?
I'm looking at it right now.
I tell you what.
It's them taught using the words that he used, saying it about him.
Well, okay, this is always how it has to be. When people say he said it, yeah, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And I always like to have primary sources where he says, or a book quote, or radio this or that where he says it. Then I'll believe it. people have said things that I've said, but it's never not true. Rumors get started, and someone will print it up and say, "See, Matt said this. I never said it." So that's why you need primary sources. But if you have primary sources on these things, then I would love to have that information, because I would stop my work on CARM transferring stuff, and I'd write an article naming names. If I could prove that they were in support of homosexuality, I would name them and call them heretics.
Well, that's kind of where I was going, because you didn't have his name on your... I did check your website, so I was like, you know, I know you can't have everybody on there that says something crazy, but because you wouldn't know everybody, but yeah, that one surprised me. Would you mind, like, if I... Because I know you have a slew of emails and stuff probably to read. If I sent you the information, you can...
Please do.
Check the book and bump me up to the top of the list.
Absolutely. What you do is email it to Matt, or just info@carm.org. info@carm.org. And just mail the information there and say, "This is for Matt," you know, and documentation on Christians saying homosexuality is okay, or whatever it is.
Okay.
And that'll get my attention.
He was one of the names. Okay. Okay.
But hold on. Like, sure. Sometimes what people will do, they'll send me a book and say, "The answer's in this book. It's only 350 pages. Go ahead and read it." You know, I just tossed it.
Oh, no. I'll tell you the page. I'll tell you the page.
And then what sentence it is, or, you know, the sentence is here on this page. Then I can go look. Because, trust me, over the years, people have said, you know, said things. I can't find it. So I got to find it.
Okay. Right, right. Sure.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'll give you the page and I'll give you the sentence. No problem.
Good.
Yeah, that one's surprising. And a couple of the other names that I heard, I've never heard these people of these people before. One was a Jonathan Merritt.
I don't know if he has any substance.
Ever heard that?
Go ahead. No. Don't know if Merritt has any substance. Go ahead.
Scott McKnight. I've never heard of that name either.
No, I gotta set some daylight on that one. I don't know.
Okay. Cameron Strang.
Strain?
Yes, S-T-R-A-N-G.
Oh, like as in strange? Well, I don't know, man. That could
like
be
strange without me.
Oh, strong. Okay, well,
maybe that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, if that's him, I don't know. I just hope that he wouldn't be too strange, that he'd be straight to the point with biblical. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It was like lumped together with the Andy Stanley one, so I was like, I don't want to just like jump to conclusions about these.
Right.
I don't know who these people even are. But I guess kind of like what I was wondering is, you know, I mean, you like to read books on certain people, and sometimes you may not find out somebody has such views on things. Like, how do you not waste your time on, and then, you know, you find out something about somebody? It's just kind of...
That's it. That's why I ask people if they're going to give me any documentation or anything they want me to research. They have to provide the video, the URL, the book, the page, the sentence, so that I can go look. I've wasted so many hours trying to find people's documentation. I just gave up years ago. And it's necessary that if they do that, and I love it when people do that. Hey, go to this page. Here's what this quote is. And then I can find it. I can see the context. Because a lot of times things can be taken out of context as well.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So, that one surprised
Andy
me. I was like, wow, I have a book by him. I like listening, you know.
Yeah. Andy Stanley. I've heard some not so good stuff about him. So let me just say that. I wouldn't, you know. So give me the documentation. If he supports it, I'll call him out on it. Okay.
Okay. And then I have one other question, not really related to that, but general wondering. When you hear so much on the news, you know, lately about, you know, voting and politics and blah, 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 why are Christians always referred to as evangelicals? Like, I don't see that word in the Bible, evangelical. Where did that start?
Well,
why did that start?
The word evangelical comes from the Greek euangelia. And we don't say euang, we say evangelical. That's where it comes from, euangelia, which is found in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, I think it is, the gospel. No, first one. It's the word gospel. It just means evangelical, someone who evangelizes. And that's what it is, an evangelical. So it's okay. It's a fine word. Okay.
Well, yeah, I didn't have any problem with it. I was just wondering where it came from.
That's where it came
from.
Because
I'm like, you usually don't hear them refer to as Christians. on the news.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Maybe it's because they don't want to use the word Christ at all. Christians, because there's Christ is in that. Maybe that's it, because
never thought of that.
People hate the truth of God's word and they hate the person of Christ. So, we'll see.
That's
okay.
Possible. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I'll send that to you.
Oh, please do. All right. Thanks a
okay,
lot.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call, four open lines. Let's get to Matt from Fort Worth, Texas. Matt, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to get what your thoughts were on what I'm about to say. Forgive me if it's long-winded, but I've been born again for 9 years now, about. And one thing I've noticed, and it's kind of a concern for me, I've noticed that oftentimes in response to heresies or false teachings, Christians will tend to swing the pendulum all the other way and go in the direction that that isn't exactly biblical. I guess an example would be like that guy that called about baptism, you know, is it necessary? You know, of course, it's not necessary for salvation, but... I see a lot of Christians not really taking it seriously. I've talked to Christians who've never been baptized, and it doesn't seem to bother them at all, or they don't seem to have like a sense of urgency that it's something they need to do to be obedient. There's a couple other things like the once saved, always saved issue. I believe we are saved. Once we're saved, we are saved eternally, but the writers of Scripture have so many warnings against falling away, and I don't see a whole lot of emphasis on that, on a lot of preaching and teaching.
Well, it's because the context of that, Paul was writing to groups of people, in large groups, and there were converts of different mm-hmm. levels that were intellectual converts and true converts. We can't tell the difference, so you've got to be careful that you don't fall away. And plus, there was a covenantal aspect to this stuff. A lot of people don't get what the covenant aspect is, but that's one of the reasons you would speak like that. Okay.
Well, a good example would be in 1 Timothy. He's actually warning Timothy that there are people who have made shipwreck of the faith because mm-hmm. they didn't hold fast to a clear conscience.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's warning Timothy that, you know, there's possibility of shipwreck. I just remember a former pastor of mine, he emphasized the fact that, you know, the writers of Scripture, they're not just talking this way, they're actually warning this way, where, you know, it's possible to make shipwreck.
Well, hold on. It says, look at the context of 1 Timothy 2:18 through 20. This command I entrust you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so they can be taught not to blaspheme. So they're blasphemers yeah. against God. How
yeah.
do you have someone who, you know, was really a true believer become a blasphemer of God? It doesn't
right.
make any sense. He's speaking generically. That's just what he's doing. That, and also, and I got to find the verse, 2 Corinthians 10:7. Let's see. Oh, is it 7:10? I think it's 7:10. And it says, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. There's true and false conversions, true and false repentance, okay? Hold on, we got a break. Hey, folks, give me a call. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Matt from Fort Worth, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I am still here. A former pastor of mine, he was emphasizing the fact that, you know, he's not saying you can lose your salvation, but he's saying that you can lose your faith because there's people who have a faith that's not a saving faith.
Wait a minute. So he's saying that people can lose faith, that means they're saved and they're not believers?
No, and that's not what he's saying. He's saying that they're proving themselves not to be believers, not to be saved.
Then they weren't saved to begin with.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But the writers of Scripture are basically warning against shipwreck of the faith and such. And I feel oftentimes, especially in the once saved, always saved conversation, it's like people just get comfortable with, okay, so I can't lose my salvation. But then there's also the other aspect of we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah,
and I feel like
it says there, for it is God who is working both in you and through you to will and work for his good pleasure. Okay?
Right.
So context is everything. But look, do you have a question, though? A specific question?
Well, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on... There seems to be several issues. Like I said, baptism also. And then I was going to mention about in the conversation on work salvation.
Well, what's your question about it?
Yeah, I'm getting to there. In response to these heresies, obviously I don't believe that. But I think oftentimes in response to this, and I'm not saying you necessarily, but like I've had conversations with other Christians that it's like they swing the pendulum all the other way, and then it's like almost like the feeling is that baptism isn't really necessary or that it's not important. And the evidence of that is
I'm waiting for a question though. Okay.
I wanted to know if you find the same thing amongst Christians that. They have a reformed understanding of Scripture. Do you find that to be the case? Am I the only one experiencing this?
The people that I know who are reformed in their theology don't speak like you're saying that those you've met have to speak. That they're very concerned about the lost. They don't take the graciousness of God for granted. They get baptized quickly. They believe that they should do and work for the Lord God. They don't believe in abusing the grace of God. So, you know, that's my experience. I don't know about other people. Okay.
Well, I've heard in some preaching sometimes, like, or I'll see a YouTube video and then some comments are like, "Oh, you're teaching works." Like, and these are biblical people. They don't teach works for salvation.
I can't comment. Hold on. I can't comment on what people comment on a video where I don't know anything about the video or the context or what was said. So when you say that, it's not really helping anything because we don't know. We don't know what they're saying. But people abuse their theological perspectives in all camps. It's happened. And they need to stick with Scripture and be faithful to God's Word much as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Do you have a concern over many churches not having baptisms every week? I mean, it is an important thing, I think.
Well, you don't have
don't
to have a
baptism. Well,
let me answer. You don't have to have a baptism every week if there's no one to get baptized.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I guess I could elaborate on that. Just in general,
normally they should be baptized quickly. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, talk to you later. Okay, bye. All right, let's get on the phones with Harry from Kentucky. Hey, Harry, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I hope you're doing okay. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Grant Jeffrey. Can you tell me about him?
No, because I don't know anything about him.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I think.
Sorry,
I don't. He's probably on TBN and older and other channels. I don't know if he's in the world of faith or
If he's on TBN, he's probably bad.
I presume he is.
Well, I don't know if he is or isn't.
Yeah, I don't either. But I think he was in the Oval Office there with Copeland, and what I mean.
Yeah,
when they laid hands on Trump.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was there.
Well, he died in 2012, Grant Jeffrey. Online, died May 11th, 2012. A Canadian Bible teacher, prophecy, eschatology.
Still got books.
Well, anyway, I'm not familiar enough with him to be able to... Yeah, I can't comment because I just don't know anything about him. enough of
petitioning. Yeah, okay. It looks like there's mass amounts of books at, different places.
Yeah.
Prophecy, a lot, it seems like.
Yeah.
There's a Grant Jeffrey and a Grant Jeffries.
Okay.
Is that true? Or do you...
I don't know.
I'm positive.
There are a lot of that too,
where it said that he passed away, and I thought, well, wait a minute, that don't sound right, because he's got a website, and everything is sign in, so they can get your
information. I can't comment, and I don't know. So that's just it. You know, I'm sorry, I just don't know. Okay.
All right. Is the discussion page functioning pretty good now, or
the what page?
Your discussion page.
Forums? No.
Yeah, the forums.
I've had nothing but problems, and I am absolutely sick and tired of working on it, and I've got so many other things to do.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I've got.
I know you updated it there.
Yeah, I tried.
You updated some, and that's a problem, ain't it?
Yes, it's a problem. Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I'll try and get it.
So, have a good evening.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye. Okay. If you want to give me a call, we have 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Michael from Utah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
I'm sorry. The last guy was talking so much that you just go hello and there's silence. The contrast got me laughing. Okay, you're on the air, Michael. Sorry, what do you got?
Oh, hi, Matt. Hi. I just wanted to know what you thought of the Shroud of Turin.
Well, what I think is it's interesting, and I don't know if it's authentic or not authentic. I just don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I just thought... Father wouldn't want to take a picture of his son on the most important day of his earthly existence, the resurrection from the dead. The camera wasn't developed or wasn't invented until the late 1800s, and the image on the shroud is a photographic negative.
Yeah, I've seen some specials on it. There's some enigmatic issues, but there's also been evidence that it could be repeated by a certain procedure. So I forget what that was. But I'm intrigued by your statement that God would want to take a photograph on a day like that.
Well, you know, the specials I've seen on it, that's the way one of the scientists explained the way that the image was kind of burned on the shroud was that it was like a recoil thing.
Well, it seems to me like you're convinced it's legit. I'm not convinced it's legit. I'm not convinced it's not.
Yeah. It's not like a thing of worship or anything, but it's more like a crime scene evidence kind of thing because the pollen grains on the shroud, all those things are just impossible to,
Right. There's a lot
forge.
Of... Like I said, there's a lot of evidence that has to be examined for or and against. And, I remember seeing a show on it years ago where they talked about the pollen, it has to be in the Mediterranean area, in the Israel area, and it looks like the mark on the wrists and the feet and the side, it looks like it, and a beard, and I think it had corns over the eyes, but I don't remember if that's accurate. And yet there was someone who said that they were able to get a similar effect by doing something with a body of some sort. It was an animal that were doing tests, and they had to put special spices and stuff and heat or some. I forgot. And I go, oh, that needs to be researched more. And so, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's legit or not. But, you know, think about it. The Romans, you got to understand here, the Romans didn't like the idea of anybody else being a king. They had something called Caesaropapism, which is emperor worship, and the Jews did not want Christ to be shown to be resurrected. And the Romans wouldn't want that either. That shroud, if it was retained, would have to be retained under great difficulty. And how would we know it was original and some other things? There's a lot of issues there. Okay? Okay.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them over the years. It's the one that I thought was the best one was the Stirp team one that was like done 100 years after the original photograph by Secundo Pia in 1898.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the guys who was on the Stirp team was a NASA scientist, and they put one of those photographs from Turin, Italy, under a VP8 analyzer, and it came out in 3D.
Yeah, I've heard
which,
about that.
It could only happen if the body was the image on the shroud was formed when it was draped over a three-dimensional object like a body.
Right.
So that got him curious.
Mm-hmm. And if it was, so. Yeah. And I like science, and I always just say, I always want to see both sides and stuff like that. There's a lot of evidence that suggests it's original, and some evidence that suggests it's not. There's a lot of noise in the background there. So I don't know what to tell you, okay? All right.
Thanks,
okay. All right. You're welcome. God bless.
Bye-bye. Appreciate your program. Bye.
Well, thank you. Okay. Let's see if we have enough time to get to Paul from Virginia Beach. Paul, we have less than a minute. What do you got?
All right, just a quick question here. I just tuned in. I'm wondering who you think, or who do you see as the next world-renowned apologist here since we've lost R.C. Sproul and Ravi Zacharia recently?
I don't know. Seriously, God will raise a person up, and they will. This person will have the ability to speak well and make sense and maybe be on a public forum. But just because they're public doesn't mean they're a good apologist. I've heard some things from Ravi that I went, what? You know, not that good. But for the most part, he was very, very good. So, you know, having a standard of what is good is what we have to establish first. But, hey, we're out of time, man. Call back tomorrow, okay? All right.
All right.
Hey, folks, sorry about that. We are out of time. May the Lord bless you. That was an interesting day. Yeah. And so, by God's grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.